Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. You don't see this headline every day. Car thief finds four-year-old in backseat, returns to scene to scold mother.
Say what?
This happened in Oregon. Look at that, an Oregon carjacker with a heart. An Oregon carjacker stole an idling SUV, drove down the street, and discovered a four-year-old inside. So he turned around, drove back to the scene, and scolded the mother for leaving her child unattended. Could you imagine being yelled at by a carjacker, someone that just stole your car with your four-year-old child inside the car?
No, I can't imagine.
And then the carjacker came back. The mother left her son in that running SUV before going into a butcher shop in the town of Beaverton, Oregon. This happened Saturday morning, a little after 9 o'clock. The mother was inside for barely a minute when police said she and the clerk saw a man hop into her idling vehicle and speed off. He drove about half a block before he turned around. When he returned to the store, the scene of his crime, he scolded the mother for leaving a young child unattended in the running vehicle and demanded she remove her son from the SUV.
Wait,
well, he's probably right. Demanding that so he could steal it. Look, he's a carjacker.
I understand that
he's
part.
Not a kidnapper.
I understand that part.
You know, he's not a killer. He's a carjacker.
So his demands were, look, you take this four-year-old out your SUV so I can pull off with your SUV after I turn back from the stolen SUV with your kid in it?
Yeah, right outside the butcher shop in Beaverton, Oregon.
And no one said maybe you should just leave because the police are on the way? Maybe? So the guy was going to sit there and wait for this woman?
Hold on. I haven't gotten to the end of the story yet.
Oh, okay.
Now, the University of Oregon, they're the Ducks. Oregon State University are the Beavers. And this is in Beaverton, Oregon. So after the mother listened to the carjacker removing her son from the back of the SUV, he took off again.
Oh, no.
In the car. Yes.
No.
He took off again in the car. Authorities did recover the stolen vehicle later in the day about 10 miles away in the city of Portland. But the suspect remains at large. They probably shouldn't really go out of their way to try to find this guy. I mean, yes, he was wrong. yeah, he jacked a woman's car, but he, he's obviously, he cares.
A little bit, maybe. This text says, how is this not the dumbest thing you read all day? Here's what I think. See, the
believe me, I've got a few more. I appreciate the text. I had to narrow it down today to the dumbest thing I read all day. That's later in the show.
There's so much dumbness in this. For instance, when the woman went into the SUV to retrieve her son, how difficult is it to get your keys too while you're in there? All she had to do is reach up front and grab her keys while she was grabbing her son.
Well, if the carjacker is in the front seat of the car.
The carjacker was still in the car.
Yeah, he turned the car around, Coleman. He turned the car around when he saw the four-year-old in the back. He drove back to the butcher shop, and he was in front of the butcher shop sitting in the driver's seat when the mother came out, opened the back door. He said, get this kid out of here. And he yelled at her, and he scolded her. What kind of a mother are you? I'm a carjacker, okay? I'm a car thief.
At that point, I would have hopped in the SUV and said, wherever the car go, I'm going to. Wherever you're going, you're taking us with you.
What if he had a gun? No, then she would have been a bad mother for the second time in about 2 minutes. Man, this... She would have been a bad mother for the second time in a minute if she did that.
Oh, no.
She did the smart thing the second time around. Who knows? Maybe it's safe in Beaverton, Ohio. I mean, here in New Orleans, carjackings are up. They're up like 197% from last year at this time. Just last week alone, there were three over the course of one night at a gas station, at the same gas station on Carrollton here in New Orleans. And people always say the same thing. You know, I was getting gas. I left my keys in the ignition. I just ran in for a minute. You can never do that here in the city of New Orleans. You could not in New Orleans. I don't know about Beaverton, Oregon. And obviously, you shouldn't do it there either. Look what happened here.
In one of the instances in New Orleans, I think somebody got their dog napped, and the dog was returned to them.
They found the dog later.
They tried to get Gail Benson. Gail Benson was in the backseat of a car one time. But they didn't get the guy didn't get away with that one because Gail Benson yelled, I'm in here.
Well, anyways, I thought, and the woman told the local media out there that she will never leave her child in a running car again. Well, I hope she learned her lesson. And, yeah, obviously the guy is, you know, he's a thief. He's a carjacker. He's a, you know, that's not cool. But look what he did.
So let me ask you this.
What's that?
Do you think he did it because he actually cares about the well-being of the four-year-old, or he just didn't want the kidnapping charge?
Probably. Well, I think a combination of the both. But there's no doubt. I mean, if you're a carjacker, and these are tough times socioeconomically, which is what, most crimes are socioeconomic. Mm-hmm. People, this dude probably short on cash. Who knows? Maybe he was out of work because of the coronavirus. And he said, look, I need, and he was just driving or walking by, whatever the case may be, happened to see a running car outside of a butcher shop in Beaverton, Oregon. Hey, I can make a few bucks. He hops in the car, and then he's not even a block away. He looks behind him and sees a four-year-old kid. That's not who he is. He's not a kidnapper. And I think most criminals are like that. Now, there are some, a small percentage of them, that are just out of their bleeping minds, and they'll do anything. But I think most criminals, Coleman, especially thieves, They do it because they need money.
True.
Socioeconomic crime.
Charles says, so Coleman thinks his life is only worth his vehicle, what his vehicle is worth. Sadly, yes. I'm one of those guys that would die for my property. If I worked hard for it, you're gonna have to pry it out of my dead. You're going to have to take my car keys from me.
What's that texter's name?
Charles.
Hey, Charles, you got to realize something, too. He drives a pretty old used car.
Right,
so if he's thinking his life is worth that much, It really isn't.
Yeah, look, it don't matter what it is. It could be my tennis shoes. It could be my watch. Any cheap item. You ain't taking it. You're going to have to kill me for it. Yes, even if it's a Tic Tac.
So the car thief in Beaverton, Oregon, who carjacked a car, stole a car, and found a four-year-old in the back seat, and then returned to the scene to scold the mother as she retrieved her child, and then the carjacker took off again in the stolen car. That's not the dumbest thing I read all morning, although it was pretty close. That segment we do around 8:35, 8:40 every morning, the dumbest thing I read.
Yeah, so stick around for that to see what trumps this one.
Well, I'm still narrowing it down. I've got a handful of them in front of me here. I'm trying to come up with that. We'll figure that one out. We have a lot to do on the show today. So you just said Trump's, but you weren't talking about the president.
Oh, no, you were talking
about the word.
Right.
Did you see his list of pardons? Today, he leaves Washington, D.C., Donald Trump. A local New Orleans legend was one of the people that Donald Trump pardoned and just saved several years in jail. We'll explain coming up here on Bayou 95.7. New Orleans' only classic rock station.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show, New Orleans morning radio show. I still can't believe that first story we did. And if you're just joining us, our show starts at 5:30. And we talked about how this woman in Oregon ran into the butcher shop. She left her SUV running right in front of the butcher shop. And her car got stolen. She left her keys in the car. It was idling. The car thief, as he's flying out of the way of the butcher shop, noticed in the back seat, there was a little child in the back seat of the car. A four-year-old. So the car thief turned the car around, brought the car back to the butcher shop where now the mother, the owner of the car, was standing outside, and the car thief scolded the mother, yelled at the mother. The mother took the child out of the car, and the car thief took off. And they ended up finding the car later in the day, 10 miles away in Portland, Oregon. This happened in Beaverton, Oregon. And I'm just still thinking to myself, could you imagine being that woman? You were yelled at by a man who was in the process of stealing your car. You were yelled at as if he is better than you for what you did, leaving your child in the backseat of the car. Luckily, the child is okay and the woman's okay, and they found the car later in the day.
I still maintain that the man was being selfish. I don't think he was yelling at the woman because he really was concerned about the welfare of the being or her parentage. I think he was really yelling at the woman because he was about to get himself a kidnapping charge on top of the carjacking charge.
Yeah, he probably needed some money. He's not a kidnapper. What are you doing?
You're about to give me a kidnapping charge. Take this kid away. So I don't think he was scolding her because of her parenthood.
But I just couldn't imagine her later in the day or the next day. Hey, what's going on? What's new with you? Oh, I just got yelled at by a man who was in the process of stealing my car because I left my four-year-old in the back seat, and he didn't want to deal with that.
I wonder if that man's a father himself.
That's a good question. We don't know. They haven't caught the guy. I don't know. Well, today is a big day in the United States as one president is flying out of town. And the new president is going to be inaugurated today. But one thing that all presidents do right before they leave office is they pardon some people. They say, you know, before I leave, I'm gonna let some people out of prison, and I'm gonna commute some prison sentences. And Donald Trump did do that yesterday, again, like presidents do. And he pardoned or commuted the sentence of 143 people. There's a couple of names on here that are very interesting. One of them with New Orleans ties. One of the people Donald Trump pardoned on his way out the door is New Orleans rapper Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne, and we talked about this when it happened on our show, Lil Wayne, the end of 2019, he was on a private jet that landed at the Miami airport in Miami, Florida, and they found he was in possession of a gun. The problem with that is he's a convicted felon, and because he's a convicted felon, he can't be in possession of any gun, any firearm. Lil Wayne was 8 days away from being sentenced to go back to prison, and he was going to go for a while. The maximum sentence he could have gotten was 10 years. Authorities don't think he would have gotten a full 10 years, but even if he got 5 years or 6 years, he's not getting that now because Donald Trump pardoned Lil Wayne. So he's not going to have to deal with going back to prison in 8 days. He also pardoned another rapper. Actually, he commuted the sentence. He pardoned Lil Wayne, and he commuted the sentence for another rapper named Kodak Black. Kodak Black was sentenced at the end of 2019 as well, in November of 2019, to more than 3 years in federal prison after pleading guilty to a weapons charge stemming from his arrest just before one of his concerts in May of 2019. Kodak Black admitted that he falsified information on federal forms to buy 4 guns from a Miami, Florida area gun shop on 2 separate occasions.
What is it with Florida rappers and guns?
Well, you could take Florida out. First and foremost, what is it with rappers and guns?
Self-defense.
Anytime I see a rapper getting arrested for possession of guns, possession of drugs, I always say that rapper should also be charged with perpetuating a stereotype.
Lil Wayne is going to smoke the biggest blunt and drink the syrup all day.
Thank you for the text. Yeah, it's probably going to be a lot of weed and syrup. Purple drank.
Smoke weed every
for
day.
For Lil Wayne. You know, Lil Wayne here in New Orleans, what a story. Sure, you may not like his music, but he did rise to the top of the game.
I like his earlier music.
In the rap genre. You like his old stuff?
Yeah, it's like his first 3 albums, yeah.
He did rise to the top of the game coming out of New Orleans, where when he was a kid growing up in St. Rock, in that neighborhood, he was shot. And a cop just happened to be around when he was a little kid and got shot, and a cop saved his life. A New Orleans cop.
Interesting story about Lil Wayne. I grew up listening to Lil Wayne, and I'm older than him. Figured that one out. The guy had his first record there like 13, 14 years old.
Lil Coleman was listening to Lil Wayne, huh?
Right.
Lil Wayne's real name is Dwayne Michael Carter Jr. I don't know if his namesake was in his life, Dwayne Michael Carter Sr. But he did plead guilty last month to a federal charge that he possessed a weapon despite being a convicted felon when they searched his private plane that landed in the Miami area, in Miami, Florida.
I found out that you can just request a pardon when the president's about to leave. Like anybody can request, hey, can you pardon me? So it makes me wonder what the process is and how they decide who gets a pardon and who doesn't. Because I'm quite sure the fact that you can request the pardon, everybody tries at least once.
Oh, I'm sure the list of people who want to be pardoned,
so imagine,
or want to have their sentences commuted, their jail sentences commuted, I bet you the list was
in
immense.
The thousands, yeah, multiple thousands. So imagine being Julius Assange, and you practically, you know, you see yourself as a patriot who exposes government conspiracy, but you don't get a pardon. But here's this guy that does lean and smokes weed and raps and has a gun charge. Yeah, which means, yeah, we'll pardon this guy, but the guy who practically almost, you know, exposed a corruption scandal in the government, he still has to suffer.
Not pardoning Joe Exotic from the television show The Tiger King.
Oh, yeah, no, screw Joe Exotic.
And so some rappers are happy. Snoop Dogg was really happy that Lil Wayne and Kodak Black, one's not going back to prison, the other is getting out of prison because of Donald Trump. And, you know, rappers, before Donald Trump was president, the majority of them liked him. They envied him. He had what they wanted, all of that money, beautiful younger women, all the fame.
Dude, Donald Trump was in rapper skits on their albums. You know how sometimes albums have skits? He was in like a Method Man album. Donald Trump was featured on some of these rappers' albums.
So many rappers liked him, looked up to him. And then when he became president, they all turned on him. Pretty much every, led by Snoop Dogg. And it's like, it's almost like they got their card or someone got to them to whisper in their ears. No, this guy that you used to admire and look up to, you need to hate him now.
What,
and
no?
So that's, yep, what Snoop Dogg and most of the other rappers did.
But Kanye West stuck to his morals.
Yes, he did.
Kanye West stuck to his morals. And Kanye West's wife, Kim Kardashian, was one of the ones who asked, you know, President Trump for some prison reform, and got pardoned a woman. I forget what her name is. Got her out of prison. So he's done a lot.
How could Kanye West leave that behind? They're getting a divorce.
How for the
possibly
eighth time,
could he leave that behind?
For the eighth time. I don't know. I'll believe it when it happens.
So anyways, Donald Trump pardoned New Orleans rapper Lil Wayne, and he commuted the sentence for another rapper, Kodak Black. Let me tell you something. If Kodak Black or Lil Wayne, but especially Kodak Black, if he's caught with guns again, there's another felon in possession of a gun, and he had a lie, falsify records to buy guns, that won't be a good look for the outgoing president. All right, coming up on the show, here in New Orleans, the Homeland Security director who was arrested for drunk driving, he got in a car crash and was passed out behind the wheel of his car when cops showed up. He had his first day in court yesterday. Yeah, I know, he's in charge of our Homeland Security, and he's driving around drunk late at night, crashing cars, and then passing out behind the driver's seat. Not very secure. And a big battle within New Orleans public library directors. Wait till you hear this spat. Stay tuned for those reports and a whole lot more. We got a lot to do on the show today here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. So the incoming Biden administration has a message for Honduran migrants headed to the United States. Have you seen that on the news? There's a bunch of migrants from Honduras that are heading towards the United States because they see that Joe Biden became president, and Joe Biden's for making all illegal immigrants legal. And so they're on their way. Well, Joe Biden just said, don't come right now. Very interesting. The migrants say now that they're angry at Joe Biden and they regret having voted for him. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show and the official band of our show, the Ass Clowns. And we do stupid song parodies. Did you ever hear our take on that song by Bad Company right there? We called it Feel Like Doing Sex. Baby, when I think about you, I think about sex. Darling, don't want to live without you and your sex. And I dream about doing it yesterday and today. I want you a week from Tuesday and all day, every day. I feel like doing. I feel like doing sex. I feel like doing sex. I feel like doing sex. Feel like doing sex with you. Thank you. Whenever I date a new woman, I try to play that song.
You're going to serenade her? It's going to feel like doing sex after she hears that?
Probably one of the reasons I'm single. That's our band, the Ass Clowns. So there was a meeting yesterday. The library officials here in the city of New Orleans. And a member of the New Orleans Public Library Board of Directors blasted the city's library director at that meeting yesterday, accusing him of spreading misinformation and basically lies about Proposition 2 That was New Orleans Mayor Letaxa Cantrell's failed attempt back in December to cut library funding by 40%. The Public Library Board Secretary, her name is Andrea Neighbors. She's the one who blasted the New Orleans Library Director at the board meeting yesterday. Andrea Neighbors, the Public Library Board Secretary, was the only board member to speak out publicly against Prop 2 before it failed in the December 5th election by a margin of 57% to 43%. In the days before the election, she said that the Letaxa Cantrell administration was misleading voters with information posted on the city library website. That's a big deal when the Public Library Board Secretary, she's only the secretary of the New Orleans Public Library Board, is calling the mayor a liar. Then, on the day before the election, several community groups complained they were being listed as supporters of Proposition 2 without their knowledge, and they asked that their names be removed from campaign materials. So they had this meeting yesterday, and all of this stuff came up. You don't think about that when you think about library officials meeting about library business. And so when you've got the secretary calling the mayor a liar, that's a big deal. You know, I think about the public libraries, and, you know, we have a real nice one in the CBD here in New Orleans. But I think about the fact that not nearly as many people go to the library or spend time in the library as they used to. I mean, especially before the internet. I remember when I was a kid, when I was in high school, I would go hang out at the library when I found out a girl I liked was in the library or hanging out there or looking for a book. It would always take me so long to find a book, though, in the card catalog. I mean, it's so much easier now with Google. You just, you know, you type in what you're looking for, you push enter, and boom, 8,000 variations of that come up.
You don't even have to type it in no more. You just yell at your phone. Hey, Siri, hey, Alexa, find this crap.
Yeah. You don't even have to type it in anymore. Did you realize how hard the card catalog system was when you had to go to the big wood boxes and you pulled out the little drawers and then they had things that they were not in order and they the numbers, they had points in them. And half the time it would take me just as much time to find the library book in the library than it would for me to read a chapter.
And then don't talk about when you try to return a book after the due date when you're supposed to bring it back. That's another thing. You had to bring the book back to the library so somebody else can use it. Now you don't have to bring your phone back whenever you finish Googling.
But in this meeting yesterday, Coleman, this one secretary of the New Orleans Public Library, when she's calling out the mayor and even her boss at the library, basically calling them liars.
The lie? Brevity. All right.
Campaign mailers were sent to all voters in the city, falsely claiming the New Orleans Public Library had backed Proposition 2. That's what she's accusing Letaxa Cantrell of doing, because Letaxa Cantrell wanted Proposition 2. She said, oh, everybody at the library was. And the secretary is saying, oh, no, we didn't. The board, the library board, had actually voted to keep the millage as is. Letaxa Cantrell wanted to raise the millage. The mailers also quoted from a Bureau of Government Research report to make it look like more people than not were supporting Proposition 2. And most of the people who they said were supporting Proposition 2 inside the library were not. The city's website also made no mention that a vote for Proposition 2 would result in a 40% cut to the library budget, only saying it would ensure the library could continue fulfilling its mission of transforming lives, enriching neighborhoods, and preserving history by offering safe and welcoming spaces and providing free educational, informational, and recreational resources, programs, and activities for all ages.
So that's what the library does?
Well, that's what they have. A few of the things they do. And as a matter of fact, I know for a fact now several of the people that go into the public libraries here in New Orleans and in other cities in America, they go in and they're looking for porn. They're looking for free pornography. Not on the bookshelves, but they use their computer systems in the library to go to adult websites. That has happened a lot.
This text says it's not the card catalog, it's the Dewey Decimal System. Same difference.
Well, the Dewey Decimal System inside the card catalog. Yeah, you're right. that's what took me a long time to find a book. But you put those two things together, the Dewey Decimal System and the card catalog, and it wasn't easy.
Yeah, screw Dewey.
Back when I was a kid using the library. But you just don't see this every day. Where they had a meeting yesterday, and the board secretary says that the New Orleans library director spread misinformation and lies along. And the New Orleans library director is the one who was speaking on this for the mayor, Letaxa Cantrell, and the secretary of all people stood up and called them out yesterday at a meeting that had to do with the New Orleans public libraries. And a couple of times during that meeting, some librarians stood up when it got really loud.
Did somebody say,
yeah, when the secretary was saying her bosses were liars. And they said, keep it down. What the library bosses said. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show, New Orleans morning radio show. If you're just joining us, A few minutes back, we played our Ass Clowns version of the Bad Company song, Feel Like Making Love. We called it Feel Like Doing Sex.
Small sample.
I feel like doing sex. Feel like doing sex with you.
And the Ass Clowns are the official band of our show, and we do song parodies, And got a couple of texts, I guess, on that one.
Yeah, we got some reviews of your singing. Here we go. I hope the Ass Clowns has a backup singer. That's from Dwayne. John's singing makes me want to stick a fork in my ear. This one says, every time John sings, I tune to XM. He should never be allowed to sing.
Well, that's why we're called the Ass Clowns.
I love the honesty of all this. But, hey, don't give up. Don't let them discourage you, John. You keep up the good work. You have a dream. We're going to succeed, and we need these publishing royalties.
Well, Coleman, you know, someone said that one of the texters there said they wish that we had a backup singer. We don't have a backup singer. We have a backside singer. So, I thank you for the text. Appreciate it. Did you see the story? Did you see what happened Monday night on Bourbon Street in New Orleans? Now, Bourbon Street has not been the Bourbon Street that we all are very familiar with the last 9 or 10 months because of coronavirus. You see some of the pictures people post on social media of Bourbon Street with literally nobody on it, or there might be one guy walking down the street. Extremely alarming, because Bourbon Street, it didn't seem to ever matter what happened in our country, good or bad. Bourbon Street was always Bourbon Street. It was always packed. People were always drinking and having a good time. And that street is one of the main reasons why millions of people visit New Orleans every year. But because of coronavirus, and you know, we can't gather, and we can't sit down at bars that don't serve food and drink.
And as you know, Bourbon Street is my favorite street on my favorite holiday, Fat Tuesday. All I do is go to Bourbon Street. I don't do anything else.
Well, that day it should be called Boobin Street instead of Bourbon Street. And I was with you.
Yeah, you were. You
last year on Mardi Gras Day, you, me, and another friend of ours, we were, and I've lived in this city for 13 years, and I think that's the first time I was ever on Bourbon Street on Mardi Gras Day. Usually I'm somewhere else in the city on Mardi Gras Day, but...
But I helped you discover the drink specials. You see how big those drinks was for such a cheap price?
Yeah, we went to that one place, and they had incredible deals on very large canisters of beer. But this is what happened two nights ago, Monday night, on Bourbon Street. There was a tourist in town. I can't believe we still have some during coronavirus. But a tourist from Oklahoma was in town, and he got arrested because some homeless guy on Bourbon Street dared him to shoot him. The homeless guy said, shoot me, I dare you. And the tourist from Oklahoma pulled out his gun and shot him in the foot. A bizarre story. A French Quarter tourist from Oklahoma shot a homeless man in the foot during an argument. Yeah, the argument, the homeless man dared the tourist to shoot him. This happened right in Bourbon Street Monday night. And then the tourist from Oklahoma tried to flee the city with his mother, who he was visiting with from their hotel room, before police found them and arrested him. 28-year-old Austin Harrison.
You idiot.
Was booked with aggravated battery, illegal carrying of a weapon, and illegal use of a weapon after he was accused of shooting the victim with his father's .25 caliber pistol. The victim suffered a gunshot wound to his foot. The tourist's mother, Austin Harrison's mother, was not booked with a crime. The homeless guy, a 19-year-old New Orleanian, his name's Kenneth Bordelon, said he, this is what he told police. Listen to this. He was smoking marijuana and drinking a Pabst Blue Ribbon beer on the street with a group of hippies. This was two nights ago. Now, look.
Oh, so they're voluntarily homeless. They're not homeless because they had a... Because when you said he was 19...
He lives in his car.
Okay, all right, all right. When you said he was 19, I was like, oh, a homeless guy that was bad, down on his luck. No, these are the gypsies that just, you know, they just float around Bourbon Street. All right, those type of homeless. I got it.
But when the police said, you know, what was going on, you know, because when a crime happens, when someone gets shot in the foot, the police will show up and they'll ask questions. And the 19-year-old... quote-unquote homeless guy said he was hanging out with a group of hippies on Bourbon Street, smoking marijuana,
smoke weed every day,
and drinking a Pabst Blue Ribbon. He's 19. Now, marijuana has been decriminalized in the city of New Orleans. It is not legal, but ever since it's been decriminalized a year and a half, 2 years ago, people just smoke weed in the streets of New Orleans. Because they know they're not going to be arrested and then thrown into the Orleans Parish prison and have to share a cell with someone that just shot someone in the head for them just smoking a joint. So the cops show up. Well, what were you doing? Well, I was smoking weed, officer, right here on the street, and I was drinking the Pabst Blue Ribbon, and I'm 19. I'm 19. And so, evidently, after the tourist, Austin Harrison, the 28-year-old tourist from Oklahoma, after he shot the 19-year-old who was smoking weed and drinking Pabst Blue Ribbon on Bourbon Street, because the 19-year-old dared him to shoot me. That's what it says in the police report. I dared him to shoot me. And he did. My foot! That's when the tourist and his mother, I guess his mother was right there with him, they then ran away from there. Well, after you just shoot someone on Bourbon Street, you're not going to hang around. They went four blocks away to their hotel that they were staying at. They got their bags packed, and as they were leaving the hotel, that's when the New Orleans police found them. And they arrested, again, I told you that they arrested Austin Harrison, the 28-year-old Oklahoma tourist, but they did not arrest his mother for being an accomplice. Harrison was part of a private tour group. So again, he's with his mother. He's from Oklahoma. He's with a small group of people. There are lots of people that give tours in the French Quarter, in and around the French Quarter. And so he's on one of those tours with his mother, with a few people on Bourbon Street two nights ago, Monday night. And that's when this tour group walked past the 19-year-old who was hanging out with hippies, according to the police report, smoking weed and drinking Pabst Blue Ribbon. And he just started arguing. The homeless guy, Kenneth Bordelon, started arguing with this guy. This guy just happened to be packing heat. Pretty smart if you're in New Orleans, whether you're a tourist or you're a local. So many people get shot in this city on a regular basis. But you're not allowed to have a gun inside any of the places on Bourbon Street, inside any of the restaurants or the bars or the t-shirt shops. You're not supposed to have a gun.
No, you're not supposed to be underage drinking either.
I don't know if it's even legal for you to have a gun outside on Bourbon Street. Now, I know we have our Second Amendment rights, and I know that people with no criminal records should have no problem exercising their Second Amendment rights and carrying a gun in New Orleans, especially in New Orleans, when so many people who shouldn't be carrying guns are. But he was part of this tour group, tour in the French Quarter. And the argument started and the shooting happened at around 7:40 Monday night in the corner of Bourbon Street and Governor Nichols Street.
I think the saddest thing about this story is that his hippie friends, the 19-year-old, his hippie friends allowed him to drink a PBR. That's like one step over Michelob Ultra.
But if you're 19 and you're living in your car, like Kenneth Bordelon is doing, hey, the fact that you even have any beer in your hand under the age of 21, you're happy about that. And you're smoking some squeef. It was, up until the point he got shot in the foot, it was a fun Monday night for this 19-year-old homeless guy. Now, why would he start arguing with this 28-year-old tourist who's in a group of people taking a tour of the French Quarter? Why would the 19-year-old who's slamming Pabst Blue Ribbon and smoking weed, why would he start arguing with a 28-year-old guy from Oklahoma, a tourist who's in a group getting a tour of the French Quarter?
It's obvious. The Oklahoma guy was with his mother, and here's some guy smoking weed all up in public, and he probably said, hey, look, my mom's here. Stop blowing weed all up in our face. We can smell it, and that's probably how it got started. I'm speculating, but I can see that happening.
The Bordelon, the homeless guy, just started arguing, exchanging words with Harrison, and that's when he said, shoot me! Shoot me! And then witnesses said Harrison reached into the pocket of his leather jacket as his mother hit him with her purse and tried to yank him away from the confrontation. So she was being a responsible mother. You imagine when they get back to Oklahoma, so how was your trip to New Orleans? How was your tour of the French Quarter? Well, it was going fine until this 19-year-old homeless guy who was drinking Pabst Blue Ribbon and smoking weed started arguing with Austin.
And then
Austin pulled out the gun that he had on him. That's when I hit him, the mother says, with my purse. And I tried to yank him away from the confrontation. But then Austin shot the 19-year-old homeless guy in the foot.
And then a 19-year-old dared him to do it, but he was unappreciative when he actually got shot in the foot.
Yeah, when the 19-year-old saw him going for the gun, pulling the gun out, he said, you got a gun? Then shoot me.
Right.
Shoot me.
And then when he did, he gets mad. This guy really shot me. What you asked for, genius?
Evidently, Harrison pulled the trigger twice. The second shot hit him in the first, according to the police report, the kind of drunk homeless guy said he told Harrison to shoot him in the forehead, and he pointed at his forehead. He said, shoot me! Shoot me! And he was pointing to his forehead. Harrison shot him in the foot.
No, so he didn't really get what he wanted.
So that was a New Orleans tourist story from Monday night.
What were you doing Monday night, Osterlin?
I was probably not far from there because I lived downtown, and I was probably I was probably watching something on television or arguing with my cat at that time, 7:40 on Monday night. So there's another New Orleans tourist story. Even during coronavirus, tour guides are still giving tours in the French Quarter here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. According to the Census Bureau, California leads the nation in poverty. Have you seen the tent cities in downtown Los Angeles getting bigger and bigger and bigger every day? San Francisco, homeless people everywhere. Everywhere. And according to the Census Bureau, California leads the nation in poverty. The state is so poor, some Californians are sneaking into Mexico. You know, California is so poor, there's now a 99-cent store on Rodeo Drive. They're in Beverly Hills. So they got some issues they got to deal with out there. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlind Morning Show. You know, Quiet Riot there, their biggest hit they ever had was a cover song, Come On, Feel the Noise, originally done by the band Slade. And did you know Quiet Riot was hanging around the Los Angeles bar scene for several years before they made it? Their guitar player for a while in that band was none other than Randy Rhoads, who left Quiet Riot to join Ozzy Osbourne's first solo band after Ozzy got kicked out of Black Sabbath. And Randy Rhoads played incredible guitar on those first two Ozzy Osbourne solo albums before he was killed in the plane crash. But it makes you wonder if he wasn't killed, because that was right around the same time Eddie Van Halen was climbing the ladder. If Randy Rhoads didn't die after those first two Ozzy albums, if his name would be mentioned in the same vein, in the same category as Eddie Van Halen. I know Eddie Van Halen thought Randy Rhoads was a really, really, really good guitar player. But that somehow he was in the band Quiet Riot, just playing bars around Los Angeles, going nowhere. And then all of a sudden, he ends up in Ozzy's band. And he took the bass player from Quiet Riot, too, a guy by the name of Rudy Sarzo. And then after Randy Rhoads died, Rudy Sarzo said, "I can't deal with this anymore." And he went back to Quiet Riot. And then that's when Quiet Riot made it with their biggest album, Mental Health, where Come On, Feel the Noise came from. Hey, so LSU was supposed to name their new defensive coordinator today or yesterday. And that new defensive coordinator was supposed to be Saints defensive line coach Ryan Nielsen.
Great young man.
Well, Ed Orgeron also wanted Ryan Nielsen because Ryan Nielsen played for Orgeron when he was coaching at University of Southern California, speaking of Los Angeles. And Ryan Nielsen played for Orgeron out there, and then he started coaching out there at USC. And then when Orgeron was coaching at Ole Miss, Ryan Nielsen was coaching with Orgeron at Ole Miss. So Orgeron really wanted Ryan Nielsen to be his defensive coordinator because he knew who he was and he worked with him in the past. When the Saints and Sean Payton found out about it, they said no. And Sean Payton said, "Here's a new 3-year contract, and we're adding the title of assistant head coach to your name. So now you'll be the defensive line coach as well as the assistant head coach." Does that tell people that when Sean Payton finally does leave, and I got to be honest with you, with Breeze leaving, I think it's time. When Sean Payton does leave, is Ryan Nielsen now next in line? Because the Saints letting him go to college, even though he's going from the pros to college, the defensive coordinator job at LSU is a bigger job on his resume than the defensive line coach of the New Orleans Saints. And so they stopped him from getting a bigger job. And so they didn't want him to go, gave him a new 3-year deal, and they added the assistant head coach to his title. Because with the Saints, he's obviously not the head coach. He's not the offensive coordinator. He's not the defensive coordinator. So he's not one of the top three coaches. If he went to LSU, you become the defensive coordinator, you're one of the top three coaches. But the Saints didn't want him to go, and I think they believe in this guy. Saints also lost a couple of their coaches. Dan Campbell is going to be the new head coach of the Detroit Lions, and he took the Saints defensive backs coach with him to Detroit. Hey, it happens every year, especially if your team has a good season, a good record. Some of your assistant coaches are going to be purged, just like some of your players whose contracts are coming up are going to be purged by other teams if they have or had a good year. And it happens every year in the NFL. But the Saints did not want Ryan Nielsen to leave and become the defensive coordinator at LSU. Now Ed Orgeron has to go. He knew who he wanted, but he couldn't get him. And now he has to go find another defensive coordinator. Coming up next on the show, I know working in retail is not fun. And the reason why it's not fun, it's basically because of the people you have to deal with every day, the people that you sell things to. I've got a couple of stories about people working in retail. One of them just got fired because of her past. And another one just got beat up by three customers at a fast food restaurant. Wait till you hear these couple of stories coming up next on the show here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. So this woman just started a new job at a Taco Bell in Arkansas, in Newport, Arkansas. And she didn't even last a week. She was fired. Why was she fired? Because she was a porn star. And she had to stop doing pornography because of coronavirus. So she needed a job. She's 33 years old. Her name is Lana Wells.
She was a whore.
And she's an attractive woman. She said that during her interview with Taco Bell, she even told them, look, my current job or my last job, I was doing porn, but I had to stop because of COVID-19. So I want to work here. And she said that wasn't a problem. So she started working there. And she only worked a day or two, and she was about to go into work the other morning. She gets a phone call from the manager at Taco Bell saying, you don't need to come in today or any other day. We're firing you. And she says they fired her because she's a porn star. Now, what's wild about that, you would think having a porn star working at a Taco Bell would be good for business. I mean, how many guys, you know, high, drunk, coming in there may, A, recognize her and they may go in there because she works there? Or how many other guys would go in there and just say, look at those chalupas? But Lana Wells says she was fired. And now, because of her past job, and now she is filing a formal complaint.
Yes, she should.
I think it's because somebody's...
A customer recognized her.
Right.
And a customer filed a complaint with that Taco Bell.
And a customer claims to be Christian, correct?
Yeah, could you imagine going into Taco Bell and you see one of the employees, very easy on the eyes, and you realize that she's been in pornography, and so you file an official complaint with Taco Bell saying that you need to fire her.
How does a Christian
because of her past job was?
But how does a Christian recognize a porn star in the first place? That's the question I have. How does a Christian customer recognize that a Taco Bell employee is a porn star?
Coleman, her work has been featured on Pornhub.
Yes.
And she actually won two AVN award nominations.
Congratulations.
Those are the Oscars for porn. The Pornskers. And she also has an OnlyFans page. You know, that's that website where you can go and then you can pay these people money to see them naked.
I was considering starting one. I need some extra cash. You know what's ironic about that? You would think that Christians would be happy that a person who was a porn star left their life of porn alone and tried to have a regular job. See, it's weird how they don't like them to be porn stars, but here she is. She had to give up porn because it wasn't making no money. So she gets a regular job, and what happens? She gets fired. You would think that would help. Like, what, you used to be a porn star? Well, I'm glad you got a regular job. And another ironic thing about that is, I guarantee you, if she worked for Chick-fil-A, she would still have a job, and Chick-fil-A would defend her. And they are a Christian organization. They would say, look, she works here. She does a great job. We don't care about her past. We're open to all sorts of people here. She can stay.
Again, you would think having a porn star working at your Taco Bell would probably be good for business.
It would be good for business.
I mean, how many guys would go in there, and you could even advertise, hey, come see our newest employee. You've never seen her like this before. Or maybe you have.
That was funny.
So this poor woman, 33-year-old Lana Wells, who had just started working at the Taco Bell in Newport, Arkansas, lost her job because a customer came in, recognized her, and complained. She says, quote, they couldn't even give me a heads up or waited until I got there to say something because they called her up. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe that's a good thing. I mean, how many people would rather be fired that way than getting up, getting dressed, getting ready, then driving to work, and then as soon as you walk in, you get fired? Wouldn't you rather get the phone call so you don't have to do all that?
I would.
She said, quote, I just started bawling. I don't know if it was because I was upset or I was ticked or a little bit of both.
So now she has to go back to doing OnlyFans. That's the shame about it.
And she was open. Like I said, when we started talking about this, she was open about her past as a porn star with the manager when she got the job. And they said, no problem. I mean, we're Taco Bell. We need employees. And by the way, full disclosure, I love Taco Bell. I'm a big fan of Taco Bell, although I'm not a fan of what this Newport, Arkansas Taco Bell just did to the porn star. You would think Taco Bell employees come from all different types of backgrounds.
They do. But the logic behind all of this doesn't make sense. A Christian person recognizes a porn star, gets mad at the porn star, prevents her from working there because a Christian doesn't feel comfortable with the porn star being a porn star. Now the woman has to go back to doing porn, a thing you don't like her doing, because you just got to fire it from not being a... This is just dumb all around.
It's a vicious cycle, Coleman.
I can't read that on the air, Texter, but yeah, that's funny. Come eat her blank.
Ah, hey. We always appreciate the text, but please, if you text us, let the text be able to be read on the radio. This is still radio. This isn't a satellite or this isn't anything else like that. This is still regular old-fashioned terrestrial radio. And I have some other fast food news real quick. Wendy's customer attacks workers after being denied a refund.
Hiya!
This happened at a Wendy's restaurant in Indiana 2 days ago on Monday afternoon. She became angry about being denied a refund for her order. It was 1:45 in the afternoon, broad daylight. The suspect ordered food from a Wendy's in the town of Mishawaka, Indiana, and she initially left without incident, but she later returned to the Wendy's and demanded a refund. When the restaurant refused, this woman threw food at one of the employees, then slammed a plexiglass barrier against another employee's face. The old barrier to the face. Witnesses then say the woman struck another worker with her car as she left the scene. So that's three Wendy's employees. One of them she ran over. That employee's going to be okay, though. And authorities are currently searching for that woman.
Just give it a 10-23 back. That's all. She just wanted her money back. You didn't, now you got a plexiglass to the face, a car to the hip, and food thrown at you just because you didn't want to give her $10 back.
You know, that's why working in retail is not fun, because you have to deal with people like this. And quickly, in another fast food story that just happened right around the same time that Indiana Wendy's story I just told you about happened, authorities in New Mexico recently took a man into custody after he threatened a McDonald's worker with a gun at the drive-thru because he was upset about a mistake in his order.
We've all been there, right?
We've all had mistakes made when we were in fast food restaurant drive-thru lines. But who's going to pull a gun on one of the workers? We told you a few weeks ago about the fast food drive-thru worker in Alabama. I guess someone ordered a drink without ice. She had ice in the drink. And when she passed it out through the drive-thru window to him in his car, he looked at it, was not happy about the ice, took the cover off the drink, and threw it all over her. These poor fast food workers, they need to have a job to make some money, and they have to deal with the general public, and many people in the general public act like this. I had friends, and I still do, who work in retail. None of them are really happy about their jobs because they have to deal with people.
Trust me, I understand. But how hard is it not
to
put...
Yeah, Coleman, if you're just joining us and you don't know, Coleman works a second job at night. He delivers chicken wings on the West Bank, and Coleman has to deal with some of these people.
I do, but at the same time, some would say, how difficult is it not to put mayonnaise on the sandwich, though? And you want $15 an hour on top of that.
But how about you're working the drive-thru at the Albuquerque, one of the Albuquerque, New Mexico McDonald's, and you make a mistake, guy gets the wrong order, he pulls a gun on you, a gun. Now, that guy who pulled the gun, he has to have other bad things going on in his life. Because if that sends you over the top to pull a gun on someone, when all you have to do is say, hey, you got the wrong order, can you fix it? I wanted this, this, and this, and not this, this, and this. And you put the bag of food back in the window. That's all he had to do.
I've never pulled a gun out on anybody, but some of my not proudest moments have involved people putting mayonnaise on my sandwich for the eighth time after I asked, and I got a little upset. So I can understand where the anger comes from and the frustration comes from, but I never pulled a gun on anybody, or I never threw a drink on anybody's face. I may have cursed a few people out, but, you know.
Yeah, Coleman, you just brought up the point how fast food workers, they want the minimum wage raised. They want $15 an hour, and it looks like the new president, when he starts later today, he may do that. That's not going to be good for business.
Yeah, if you get
paid, in the end, it's going to hurt the people that he thinks he's helping, because if fast food restaurants and all small restaurants and small jobs have to pay $15 an hour for minimum wage, that's going to lessen the amount of employees they have. So not as many people are going to be able to get jobs. And that's probably going to make them raise the prices of whatever they're selling to make up for that, because businesses have to make money.
Right.
And, you know, people were never supposed to live on minimum wage.
So if I have to pay $17 for a number seven, but somebody who's getting paid $15 an hour to make my number seven, if there's mayonnaise on cheese on my number seven, I will probably be very, very upset.
But Coleman, if they started paying people $15 an hour minimum wage, do you know how many better skilled workers would also take those jobs because they're paying $15 an hour? And the people who currently work at fast food would probably not be able to get those jobs? I'm telling you, the $15 minimum wage would hurt business and Americans more than it would help the people that it's supposed to be helping. I mean, do you agree with that, or do you disagree with me? Do you think minimum wage should be $15 an hour? I think that would hurt business. I think that would hurt Americans, and that would, because the prices on everything else would go up. The prices of everything would go up if that happened. And it would really hurt the people who they think they're helping, because there'd be less of those jobs, and the people that would take those jobs would be better skilled, better employees, because they're paying $15 an hour.
But they wouldn't have to worry about a porn star taking their position, obviously.
And how wrong is that? That porn star, Lana Wells, Newport, Arkansas, Taco Bell, how dare she get fired because of her past job? That's horse dung. Text us. You agree with me that the $15 hour minimum wage is wrong? Text us. Or do you disagree with me? Tell me why I'm wrong. Our number is 504-260-9595. Please don't text while you're driving. Keep it short. Put either your first name or your initials at the end of the text. And if it's good, we'll read it coming up next on the show. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. If you're just joining us, we were talking about a couple of incidents in different fast food restaurants in our last break. And then the $15 an hour minimum wage came up. Joe Biden starts as president of the United States today. He wants to maybe do that. He wants to do that nationally, $15 an hour for minimum wage, fast food restaurant workers. And I said, sure, that'd be great, but that would be awful for business. That would be bad for the rest of America because those jobs would have to raise the prices on anything and everything they sell to pay for those workers. Plus, the $15 an hour minimum wage would hurt the workers that it's supposed to help, because there wouldn't be as many of those jobs because businesses would cut because they have to make up the loss of money somewhere. And without those jobs, they would be more skilled. So other people would be coming in to take what's left of those jobs at $15 an hour. $15 an hour minimum wage would be really bad for business. I mean, if you're just going to pick a number, why stop there? Why not $20 or $30 for minimum wage, right? Coleman, I asked for texts. I mean, do you agree or disagree with me?
SWP says New Orleans restaurants and businesses wouldn't recover, especially New Orleans businesses, since they're already suffering.
Could you imagine if you wanted a snowball and you had to go to the snowball stand? You know how much a snowball would cost if they had to pay the people that were making those snowballs $15 an hour?
Corey F. says, whatever happened to getting an entry-level job, learn and take the learned skills to another job to make more money? Well, that's not supposed to work.
Yeah, and minimum wage jobs are not supposed to be the job you have for life.
This text says, yes and no. Fast food is a lot when it comes to people, but if you're going to pay that much, I think they should have employees that are more dedicated to the job. Meaning that if you're going to pay that much money, you can't have flagrant employees. You have to have employees that's dedicated to make that $15 an hour.
That's what I mean. If they're going to pay $15 an hour, a whole new crew of fast food workers are going to replace the current crew of fast food workers that are working right now. They'll be better skilled and better employees, better with people skills and things like that.
Last one says, this is Dana from Louisiana. I don't think that paying $15 an hour for a job like fast food, for example, would bring in more qualified, skilled workers. The same people who are working there would already continue to work there. I think it would be lower income, less skilled jobs and market. But I agree with your co-host that if we do raise the minimum wage and the cost, you better have my order correct.
Yeah, damn it. Well, we'll see what happens with that. Thank you for the texts. We always appreciate it. Coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning. Wait till you hear what this couple got arrested for on a Ferris wheel. That's next on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. It's time now for me to tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Couple arrested after video recording themselves doing sex on a Ferris wheel. Yeah. A couple from South Carolina did sex on a Ferris wheel and were arrested after police found a recording of that on a pornography website. Eric and Laurie Harmon, both 36 years old. At least they're married. Went for quite a spin. Well, they were 187 feet high in the air on the Skywheel in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Police said they found a video of them doing sex on that Ferris wheel, and the police found that video on a popular, on more than one popular pornography website.
What were the police doing looking at pornography videos in the first place?
Maybe Coleman, someone said, hey, these people were here at the on this Ferris wheel at this amusement park or wherever they were in Myrtle Beach.
So it took the police multiple, they had to go to multiple porn sites just to make sure it was these people?
It said police said they found the video on popular porn sites.
Who's out there snitching?
And there's another video clip of them doing sex in a community pool in Horry County.
Horring County?
Horry. H-O-R-R-Y. Horry County, right. South Carolina. It's funny how these people are doing public sex in Horry County. And in that incident, the woman, Laurie Harmon, was also accused of urinating on two vending machines.
Oh, no. Yeah, lock them up. Never mind. I changed everything I was about to say good about these people.
The frisky pair were arrested over this past weekend, and they were each charged with indecent exposure and participation in preparation of obscene material. And then because of the urinating on the vending machines, Laurie was also charged with malicious injury to personal property.
Yeah, see, that's when they cross the line, when you start getting into water sports. That wasn't cool.
She was released on $18,000 bond, and her husband was released on $14,000 bond. So it's, I guess the urinating on the vending machines, it's an extra $4,000 when it comes time to bond you out. You know, she's pretty good looking. And I always say on your mugshots, it's not your best day. And I've got their mugshots and the story on our website at bayou957.com. You know, there are times where on this radio show, when I see a female who's been arrested, I see her mugshot, and I've said on the show, you know, she's attractive. I've had a few friends then text me or send me messages on Facebook saying, you think she's attractive? Really? Question mark. And then I look at the pictures of my friends who sent me those messages, and I'm like, really? You're the one who's sending me messages telling me who's attractive and who's not attractive?
And mostly female, right?
Jesus. No, the men and women.
Really now?
Yeah. The dudes. It's the dudes that are the ones that say, really, you think she's attractive? Really, dude?
I think they could have gotten...
You're telling me that?
I think this couple couldn't have got away with that if it was not for the vending machine incident. The Ferris wheel, the community pool.
The community pool and the vending machine incident was different.
Exactly.
Than the
That's what I'm
wheel.
Talking about. Yeah. If they didn't do the vending machine thing, they could have gotten away with the other videos. But since she did the vending machine thing, I think that's when everybody's like, okay, we got to find these people because that is definitely not cool.
Well, the couple who was arrested for video recording themselves doing sex on a Ferris wheel and in a community pool. And this woman had a urination problem as well. That's the dumbest thing I read all morning. Go see both of their mugshots, but go see her mugshot, Laurie Harmon's mugshot. And go check out that story on our website, the dumbest thing I read all morning. Here, go to our website at bayou957.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.